Good morning, everyone, and thank you to those who have led us well this morning. Thank you, choir, and then the focus on Jesus Christ. I think I heard CJ say he'll be in the choir next Sunday, so that's great. And thank you for that scripture. The January 9th devotion from Our Daily Bread said, you've probably heard of the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy, so we heard more about that this morning. But have you heard of the Leaning Tower of San Francisco? It's called the Millennium Tower. Built in 2008, this 58-story skyscraper stands proudly but slightly crookedly in downtown San Francisco. The problem? Its engineers didn't dig a deep enough foundation, so now they're being forced to retrofit the foundation with repairs that may cost more than the entire tower did when it was originally built. A fix that some believe is necessary to keep it from collapsing during an earthquake. The painful lesson here, foundations matter. When your foundation isn't solid, catastrophe could ensue. And I did a little reading on this Millennium Tower, and some people are not too happy. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul uses a building as a metaphor for what we do as followers of Jesus. Jesus is the foundation. We are builders constructing God's building. So the scripture that Liz just read for us, it's about the building. In the first 9 verses of that chapter, Paul identifies the problems in the Corinthian church. So I'm actually going to start a little before our scripture reading. So we begin with some building concerns in the first 9 verses. Verse 1, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. So Paul writes to this church. He says, he considers them believers, but they're not living like it. They're not living filled with the Holy Spirit, whom God has given so that we will be different than the world. But they look just like the world. What's the problem? Well, in verse 3 and 4, and you can follow along there in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, well, there's divisions in the church. There's jealousy and there's quarreling. There's issues between people. Steve Martin says, before you criticize a man, you should walk a mile in his shoes. That way, when you do criticize him, you're a mile away and you have his shoes. Well, he's a comedian and he misses the point, right? Well, the Corinthians, they may have criticized one another. They seemed stuck on wanting their own way. They were jealous of others. They quarreled. It seems some church members took others to court. They were inconsiderate of one another, even when they observed the Lord's Supper. They boasted that, well, their spiritual gifts were superior to the gifts of others. And Paul, he says, he reproves them for their immaturity. And then the people in the church, well, they aligned themselves with certain leaders. Some said, well, I follow Paul. Others said, well, I follow Apollos. And if we'd go back to chapter 1, you'd see some say, well, I follow Peter. And still others say, well, I follow Christ. You know, some may have liked Paul because, well, Paul was an evangelist. He was the church planter. He came there and he shared the gospel of Jesus and people became believers through him. And now they have the church, and so they remain loyal to him. And then Apollos came along, and Apollos likely was this dynamic teacher, and so he got up at the front, and he opened the word of God to them, and everyone just received from the Lord through him. So some said, well, I really like Apollos. He's my guy. I think it would be like if some of you said, well, I support Ralph. He's our chairman. And another group said, well, I'm with Lauren. He's the pastor now. And others said, well, I like our lay pastor, Ben. And then we have a group that says, well, we don't follow any of our church leaders. We follow Jesus. And you may wonder, well, what's wrong with saying I follow Jesus? Certainly, you are right to follow Jesus. The problem was the way the Corinthians said it. They implied, well, they were more spiritual than everyone else. Paul says, what are we as leaders? We're just servants. We're each just doing the tasks assigned to us by God. So the Bible, it teaches us to follow leaders. The church needs good leaders, and it needs good followers. The problem was their attitude. They were proud, and their pride led to divisions among them. Paul says, in Christ, we have a common purpose, just different roles. So in verses 6 to 8 there, Paul uses an agricultural illustration. Paul plants, Apollos waters, God makes it grow. Paul was an evangelist, Apollos was a teacher. God used both. And God calls us to different ways of serving him. We have all kinds of roles in the ministry of the church. We have, you know, Sunday school and children's ministry, and we have youth ministry, and they're going to take some young people to Mexico, and we're, you know, we have music ministry and all these different things and leaders for them all. And it's all a good thing, and it all works together. And not just what we do within the program of the church, but what we do in the community. All kinds of ways of serving Jesus. And then in verse 9 and following, Paul shifts from an agriculture to a construction imagery. He talks about working on God's building together. So let's look at the foundation in verses 10 and 11. And I hope you all know verse 11 because it's on the front of the bulletin every week. Who is the foundation? It's Jesus. The church is a household, and so it's fitting that we have a metaphor of building a house. Construction begins with the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. In the 50th anniversary book of our church, it was published in 1980, we find the story of the beginning of the church. And in here it says, the main concern of the early settlers was not only to earn a livelihood in this new land, but also to establish a place of worship. And it says, fellowship in the word and with each other. So it says, at the inception of our church, formerly Westheimer Mennonitan Gemeinde Rosemary, and presently Mennonite Church Rosemary, the motto was chosen, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:11. We have built and are continuing to build on this foundation, Jesus Christ. So I think, if we look back 90 years, the church has gone through many changes. In the first constitution, it said, all male members of the church have a right to vote at the Bruderbüratungen. I really butchered that, I know that. But anyway, it says ministers and deacons were elected for life. Well, we don't do that anymore. We might not get any. But what has not changed is the foundation. In 1930, it was Jesus Christ. In 1980, they continued to build on the same foundation. 40 years later, it is on our bulletin, and I trust it's not just a good motto, but our deep and abiding commitment. On a side note, 10 years from now, it's going to be the church's 100th anniversary. I'm just going to put it out there that I'd like an invitation, okay? It's going to be a party, I'm sure. I want to be part of it. We're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is the example we follow. Jesus is the truth we obey. Jesus is the good news we talk about. And Jesus is the life upon which our lives are built. It must be that way. Jesus breathes his life into us. He guides us. He strengthens us. Without him, we can do nothing. But in him, we can do all things. I think there's a danger with churches, as with individual Christians, that over time, the foundation erodes. Now, it's not that Jesus erodes, but our connection to him may wear down. Jesus remains solid, but a house may shift. You know, instead of basing decisions on God's will, Christians begin to think of, well, my own comfort first. And so we think of doing things our way and what's easy, instead of always seeking, what has God got to say about this? What does the Word say? What does Jesus want? You know, before Christmas, we had a little work done on our car, and so we got our car back, and about 2 or 3 days later, Heather and I were together, and we were driving, and then we were going to start it again, and I hit the button, and nothing. The dash didn't light up. There was no turning over of the motor. So I got out and I popped the hood and I went into the positive terminal on the battery, and there was a little spark, and Heather's inside, and she says, oh, there's power. And so I get back in the car, and I hit the button, and it started, and away we went. About 2 or 3 weeks later, same thing. So that time I popped the hood, and I looked, and I noticed that that positive cable, it wasn't just a spark. It was that terminal, the clamp was really loose. And so I got a wrench, and I tightened that post, and then it was fine. And I was thinking, you know, if they forgot to tighten the positive post, I wonder if they forgot to tighten the negative post. I'm a little slow, but I get there, okay? And so sure enough, it was a lot better, but it had just been hand-tightened. And so I fixed that, and I'm hoping there's nothing else that they forgot to tighten when they put the car back together. My point is the battery was fine. The connection was poor. When Paul exhorts the church concerning the foundation, there's no problem with Jesus. But Paul is saying, stay connected, build on that foundation. And so Paul calls the Corinthians and us always back to the foundation of Jesus Christ. So now I want to look at construction materials. And I'm going to talk about two aspects. The first is the gifts that we bring to the building of the church. And the second is more like the attitude with which we build. So the gifts we bring. You know, Paul said he planted, Apollos watered, they contributed different things to the building. And later in this letter, the same letter, Paul talks about spiritual gifts, probably the main section, text in the New Testament on gifts. We're all building on the same foundation, yet we do it in different ways. We contribute something unique. I noticed that a general contractor who builds a house may use a variety of sub-trades, right? You know, there's a plumber, and then there's an electrician, and there's someone to do the roof, and probably a drywaller, and someone to do the concrete work, and painting, and all those things. In the church, we need people serving in different ministries. All kinds of things among us. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Paul rebukes the Corinthian believers because some thought the only task that mattered was theirs, or maybe that of their favorite leaders. And Paul says, no, everyone is important. And I want you all to hear that because you're going to see that if we miss your part, then we miss out. How many of you want a great-looking house that has no plumbing or no electrical? Or no shingles. You know, pick the nicest house in the community and say, well, I'd like that house, but it's missing something. If you don't do your part, the church will miss something important. So let's say your job is insulation. You know, insulation is probably not the favorite job and can be a little itchy. And, you know, in the end, they just cover it up with a drywall and no one sees it anyway. So you say, well, I'll just tell the drywall guys, just go ahead. I'm just not going to do my part. You know, how many of you want to live through a Canadian winter in a beautiful house that just has no insulation? We need different builders. All building on the one foundation of Jesus Christ. The church is strong when each person builds. And for some tasks, we need special gifts, like the skills of a plumber or an electrician. And then there's other tasks, lots of them that, you know, probably anyone, everyone can help with, like cleaning or in the church maybe setting up chairs. And so I think we both need to use our gifts, what we're good at, what we bring, what God has empowered us, gifted us to do. And also just to sometimes just serve where there's a need. Both things are important. Some of you are going to be called to do things like insulation. And few people are going to notice you do it, but they'll notice if you don't. Not fun. The thing is, God knows. Jesus said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So it's not for any of us to say, well, I just want to do it to make people think well of me. And that brings me to the second aspect of construction materials. Fireproof materials. I think most of us know that when it comes to building, quality matters. Whether you want to talk about windows or roof or cabinetry, a lot of things, quality matters. Paul talks about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Some of you remember the story of the three little pigs, right? You know, got a building of straw, sticks, bricks. Quality matters. Because there was the big bad wolf comes along and he huffs and he puffs, and wouldn't he even need it? The big bad wolf this week in Lethbridge, you know, just blew. And the first two wouldn't have stood. For us, the test is not wind, but it's fire. Again, straw and sticks do not fare as well as bricks. Paul says, one day we're going to stand before the Lord and the work we did on earth will be tested with fire. And if what we have done on earth burns up, we'll suffer great loss. And if our work survives, we'll be rewarded. In verse 13, Paul writes, the day will bring it to light. The day is a reference to the day of judgment. Paul is speaking to Christians. So this is not about salvation. This is about rewards. He says, our works will be judged. Verse 15, if it is burned up, we'll suffer loss as one escaping through flames. It'd be kind of like if your house burns down, but you make it out. You know, you can say, oh, me and my family, we're alive, we're saved. That's a good thing. But then you look and you mourn because everything you have is gone. And there's no insurance on the whole thing. And all your prized possessions, like all your memories, it didn't make it. You're there, but you've lost everything. When many people think about what happens after death, I think many think only of whether or not they'll get to heaven. And certainly the big issue is whether you will be with Jesus forever or spend an eternity without him. But Paul's saying, how we live as God's people now, how we build, is significant in terms of how we will experience eternity. Christians will be rewarded according to how they have lived for Jesus in this life. And somehow, and I don't know if I understand all the reward system, but it's going to make a difference in terms of how we experience that. And some will make it, well, they'll be there, but just as one getting out of the burning house. And others are going to have things that are going to endure through the fire. Some may be there with nothing to show for it, and others will have gold, silver, and costly stones, and they'll experience greater abundance in eternal living. So what kinds of service will endure fire? You know, some think the most important ministries in the church are, you know, well, missionaries, pastors, church leaders, wooden straw, maybe cleaning tables and stacking chairs, and that's just wrong. On one occasion, Jesus watched people give their offerings, and some people gave really impressive amounts, impressive to us. But what impressed Jesus was the widow who gave her two small coins because it was what she had. And she gave sacrificially. And near the end of Jesus' ministry, he talked about the importance of giving a thirsty person a drink and caring for the sick. When I look at Jesus' teaching on what is important, and I merge that with what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, that, you know, all of us are servants, each doing his or her part, I believe gold, silver, and precious stones are about faithfulness. About our motivation for service, not the prominence of one's ministry. It's about the way you work with others. It's about selfless service. It's about loving God and doing what he calls you to, rather than being envious of the next person's gifts or role. I want to share three things quickly as I wrap up. As I was completing my preparation, I received the results of the survey that many of you did for the AIM weekend, so thank you. It's not for me to share the results now. I'm just going to say it confirms my hopefulness for us as a church and for our future. You deeply want to build together and be God's church in this community. And I believe God will honor that. Oh, we may need to do some renovations. But there's a lot of good to work with. Some individuals and groups have been asked to come on Friday, but Saturday and Sunday, they're for all of you, all of us. And I hope you can make it. Secondly, I want to say love one another. One of the things many of us wonder about is how do we share the gospel of Jesus with the community? You know, Paul, he was incredible at sharing the gospel. How may we do that well? And that's a big subject. For today, I just want to say that possibly the greatest thing that we can do is to love people. It's as we love the unchurched, as we love one another, and people say, oh, there's a community that really loves each other, that people are drawn to Jesus. Paul has a lot to say in this letter about how we live as the church. Rather than divisions and thinking of our own needs and getting our own way, we're to act in unity and love each other. 10 chapters further, we come to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter of the Bible. You know, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal like it's nothing. It all comes down to love like Jesus loved. And third, I want to say, just don't try to build it in your own strength. You know, here's talking about building, and I think, wow, you are a hardworking people, and many of you are successful in your farms and businesses and professions and other things because you work hard. And sometimes I think hardworking people, when we get a challenge, we say, well, then I'm going to work harder. And I think effort's important. But I think ministry happens as God works through us, and we need to always just be open so that God's Spirit truly does do the work, because that's only the way it's going to happen. Our memory verse for today, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. It's got to be a God thing. And so we give of ourselves and we work, trusting God to take that and multiply it and bless it. Charles Price, he tells of a time that he was away on one of his speaking trips. And he had recently purchased a new lawnmower, and his wife Hillary had seen him use it several times. She decided that she would mow the lawn. And this mower was a fairly solid, heavy machine. And she started the machine, and then she began to push. And it was really hard work, and she's just, you know, at a 45-degree angle, just pushing and digging in. And she gets the thing to the end, and she brings it back across the lawn, and she's exhausted. And she said that was very confusing for her. She had seen Charles walking up and down the lawn behind the mower, apparently effortlessly. And she knew he was stronger, but not that much stronger. So in frustration and anger, she grabbed hold of the handle to give the machine a good shake. And in so doing, she caught the clutch lever and she engaged it. And it took off. And she was following just about the same angle, but trying to just keep up with the machine. As we live in Christ, built on his foundation, you know, he will grow his building through us. Yes, we need to get behind the mower and walk, but he will supply the power, and it's got to be him working through us. And I believe that can happen, does happen. There's a restful rhythm in doing the work of the kingdom. May God guide us as we do our part in building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Karen, please lead us in a closing song, and then I'll share a benediction.